for the joy of your ever-present help, your strength. Thank you, Father, for being our refuge in times of trouble. Thank you that no matter where we go, no matter the circumstances in our lives, you are right there. Scripture tells us you are ever present. And it is good to be in your presence. In those moments when we sense your presence, it is wonderful. Lord, even in those moments when we may not sense your closeness, we can trust your word, which says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. We worship you this morning. You're our God, you're our King. Father, we thank you for the way that you have watched over our congregation in 2024. It hasn't been without its challenges. All of us have had those moments, some more challenging than others. But you've walked alongside us. You've never failed us. We praise you for that. And as we come to this service this morning, we know that there are those in this congregation who are hurting. Some hurting physically, others hurting emotionally. There are those who are struggling, perhaps financially, and there are those who, Lord, spiritually are not where they ought to be, not where you want them to be, and not where they want to be. So this morning we bring all of this to you, knowing that whatever our situation, you are the supplier of every need. We can trust you. We pray for those this week who've had surgery. Think of Dave Needhammer this morning. We ask that you will continue to touch his body and grant healing. Others, Lord, who just face some tough stuff, grant them your strength. Now this morning, as we hear your word, we invite your Holy Spirit to be actively at work in this place. Soften our hearts. Give us receptive hearts to your truth. If you'd be pleased to grant me the ability to share your word clearly, I ask for that. I commit this day to you, praising you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today we've reached the last Sunday in 2024. I don't know about you, but it seems like we just turned the calendar to January of 2024, and here we are just a couple days away from a new year. I wonder, as we've come to the end of a year, if you've asked yourself this kind of a question: where has the time gone? You've heard the statement that the older you get, the faster time seems to go. It doesn't actually go faster, but it sure seems that way, doesn't it? The end of a year gives us a great opportunity to just pause for a few moments and reflect back over the last 365 days. Maybe asking ourselves things like this: what have we done this past year? Is there something that we missed out on? What is it that I planned on doing but didn't get it accomplished? I didn't get my golf score where I wanted it. Or whatever. We're never satisfied as golfers with our golf score. Do I have any regrets from this past year? What were the highlights of 2024? Did you have some lowlights? Or maybe this question: did I learn anything as I traveled through another year of life? As I was reflecting on, Lord, what do you want us to focus on this last Sunday of the year? One word kept coming to my mind, and it's up on the screen. the word time. Now, so I want to invite you for the next few moments to think about time with me. I'm going to begin with this question. What do these numbers have in common? 24, 1,440, 86,400. That's the number of hours, minutes, and seconds in one day. Here are three more numbers. 8,760, 525,600, and 31,536,000. That's the number of hours, minutes, and seconds in a year. Now, these are the numbers that we use to measure time, but rarely do we use these big numbers. Oh, we might use the number 24, but we tend to use words like seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. That's how we measure time. Now, time is a rather interesting thing. It's a gift that each of us have. We've been given this gift called time. And generally speaking, we all have the same amount of time. Now, I understand we don't all live to be the same age. But here's what I mean. We all, if we live in a day, we have how many hours? We have 24 hours, not a second more, not a second left. If we live a year, we have the same number of hours, minutes, and seconds, days, months. We have a similar amount of time. All of us have that. Now, as we think about time, we tend to make a variety of comments. Things like this. If I had the time, I would, and you fill in the blank, right? Sometimes we complain, I wish there was more time to do whatever. Sometimes we make an excuse. If I had more time, I would have or I could have done this, that, or the other thing. And perhaps there are regret statements like this. I should have taken the time to, or if only I would have spent more time with. One thing we know about time is that there are moments when we wish time would slow down. And there are other moments when we say, if time would just hurry up and get there. You see, we're excited about an upcoming event. And have you noticed that when we're excited about something, time seems to just creep by? Most of you, or many of you, know that our middle son, Byron, and his wife, Alicia, have been expecting twins. And Byron and Alicia had had three miscarriages up to this point. And so when we found out that they were expecting, clearly we began to pray. And we began counting the weeks, hoping if we can just get to week 27, I mean, that's early, but if we can get there, then there's a pretty good chance things are going to be okay, hopefully. Well, she made it to 27 weeks, and then we're looking at, well, 30, and then 35 comes, and then they schedule her, Alicia, for a C-section on December 23rd. On December 21st, she was 38 weeks. And now we're on the weekend, we're waiting, anticipating, is anything going to happen? We know what's going to happen Monday if she makes it that far. Well, then we get the text Monday, we're at the hospital because it was scheduled. And then we hear, we're going back, and now we're waiting. And time stops. We want to hear something. Speed up. Come on. Let's go. And then we got the text that says Samuel Roxton and Calvin Patrick are here. Boys and mom are doing great. Samuel Roxton is named after a family name on my side. Actually, it's my name, middle name. That's my first name, but Roxton is my middle, is my first name, his middle name. Samuel Roxton was 7 pounds. And then Calvin Patrick is named, family names on Alicia's side. He was 8 pounds, 3 ounces. Alicia had 15 plus pounds of baby. And now, what's time going to do? It's going to speed by. Here's another example. When I'm planning a trip to Israel, and by the way, tentatively, we're looking at October of 2026, just so you know, okay? As I plan for the trip, it seems like the time of departure just drags by. It's never going to get here. And then we board the plane and we land in Israel, and their time is different than ours because those next 8, 9, 10 days fly by and we're on the plane back to the U.S. Time is just a crazy thing. There are questions that we need to think about when it comes to time. What have I done with the time I've been given? What should I have done with the time I was given? Have I been a good steward of what has been gifted to me? As you reflect back on 2024, has it seemed like it was never going to end? Or did the year pass in a blink of an eye? I don't know for you. But here we are, and I want us to just take a few moments to think about time. First of all, what is time? What is time? I'm going to put a dictionary definition up there that I think is just kind of amusing. Here it is. Time is the continuous progression of our changing existence that occurs in an apparently irreversible succession from the past through the present to the future. We all understand what time is now, don't we? In an apparently irreversible succession. It is irreversible. We can't go back. Another dictionary definition says it's a point in time, and I love it when they use the word in the definition, a point in time measured in hours and minutes. Time. Did you know that around the world, time is measured the same? Hours, minutes, seconds, days, weeks, months, years. And we shouldn't be surprised at that, because who is the creator of time? God is. And listen, if we go back to creation in Genesis chapter 1, we find that on the fourth day, God placed 2 great lights in the sky, the sun and the moon. They're called the greater light and the lesser light. Now, we understand that the moon doesn't have light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. But they're called the greater light and the lesser light. Listen to what Genesis 1:14 says. This is what God said. God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and years." What do we see? God has established this measurement that we use, seasons and years, and it's broken down into minutes, hours, minutes, seconds, and all that. We didn't come up with time. We didn't come up with the measurement of time. Time as we know it was brought into existence by God, and we as humans live in this sphere called time. Now, here's another question that we need to think about. How much time do I have? How much time do I have? How much time are we given to exist on this earth? Now, from experience, we've come to understand that lifespans vary person to person. We're not all going to live to be the same age. I had a great-great-aunt who lived to be 105. There's a fellow that I've sat with at McDonald's, turned 100 this past May. But we also know of those, like our nephew at 20 years of age, whose life was snuffed out. Or maybe we know of those who they were born and lived maybe a few hours. Lifespans vary. But the question is, who sets the day of our death? Who determines the number of our days? Is it just random? The scripture gives us insight. In the Old Testament, we run into a man by the name of Job. Job was a godly man. Job had much wealth. He had 10 children. and he found himself under attack by Satan. And one day, all 10 of his children were at one of their homes, and they were having a feast, and the house collapsed, and all 10 of his children die. Job loses all of his wealth. He loses even his health. And as Job considered life, in Job 14:5, he says this: "Man's days are determined. You, God, have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed." Job had some understanding that his days were numbered and that God was the one who set the limits of his time on this earth. King David, the writer of many of the Psalms, had this to say about our days in Psalm 144, verse 4. "Man is like a breath. His days are like a fleeting shadow." In other words, David says, "I understand who sets my days. God sets my days." Moses writes in Psalm 90, he says, "The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." A couple things that we can glean from this. God sets the limits. He knows when you're going to die. And you're not going to die a day before or a day late. He's the one who sets our existence on earth. And secondly, we learn this: generally speaking, we can expect 70 to 80 years of life. Generally speaking. I found it interesting that Moses, who wrote this about 3,000 years ago, nailed the life expectancy of people. We shouldn't be surprised because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. I looked it up, and the average life expectancy of people today is 77.5. Men, I don't know what our problem is. Our average is 74.8. For you ladies, 80.2. You put it together, 77.5. That's generally speaking how much time we can likely expect. Not a guarantee. And then as we think about this time that we have, we need to recognize this: life passes quickly. Life passes quickly. James says this, he asks this question: "What is your life?" And then he answers it: "You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." David says in Psalm 144:4, and I misspoke, it was Psalm 139 earlier. Psalm 144:4 says, "Man is like a breath, his days are like a fleeting shadow." Folks, no matter how long you live, life is short. In light of eternity, life is brief. You know, in these winter days, we go outside and you let a breath out, and what do you see? You see it, for a moment you see your breath, then it's gone. That's life. That's how quickly life passes away. Ask that person who's 80, 90, 100 years old, "How's life been?" "It's passed by fast. It's here, and then it's gone." Well, if that's the case, if life is brief, we must consider this: is how we live important? See, we measure time from the moment we draw our first breath, that's our birthday, till the moment we die. In this span that we call life, this span of time we call life, is it important how we live? The answer is yes. You say, "Well, Pastor, why do you say that?" Well, the scripture teaches us that there is life after death. For those who place their faith in Jesus Christ, trusting him for salvation, we are given what is called eternal life. That is a place called heaven, where forever we will be with God. But there's also what is called eternal death. For those who choose to reject Christ and his offer for salvation, they will live forever in a place called hell, a place of everlasting torment, eternal death. We learn from the scripture that we are given by God the choice of our eternal destiny. The choices that we make here, or maybe I should say the choice that we make, either to accept him as our Lord and Savior or reject him, that choice is ours to make. So let me put it like this. How we live between birth and death is the determiner of our eternal destiny. If it's important how I live, then how should I live in this time that is allotted to me? We don't have to guess. The scripture gives us the answer. But before we look at these scriptures, I want to remind you of this, something that you know. We can't go back in time and change anything. The past is behind us. And every time I say that, I think of the Lion King and Pumbaa and Timon. You got to put your past in your behind. You know, the past is behind us. I can't change it. Do you have regrets from things in the past? We all do. We can think of things that we wish we would have done or things that we wish we wouldn't have done, but I can't go back and change any of that. But I can make choices in the time I have left that will impact and determine my eternal destiny. With that, let's look at how we should live in the time allotted. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christ followers in Ephesus, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. He says this, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." A few observations from this passage. First of all, we are to be careful how we live. The word careful here means to beware, to pay attention to. The word conveys the idea of being prepared to respond appropriately. Maybe we put it like this. To live carefully means to be intentional in doing what is right in the eyes of God. It's intentional living a holy life. Paul is reminding them and us, in this space we call time, we are not to live carelessly. But we are to always realize how important the time we've been given is. Now, Paul wants to make sure the Ephesian believers understand just how serious it is to be careful. He adds these words, "Don't live as unwise, but live as wise." What does that mean? To live wisely is to make the best choices you know based upon the knowledge that you possess. See, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is simply information. It's the accumulation of facts, and it's knowing things. Wisdom is knowing what to do with what you know, the knowledge that you've gained. See, you can have all kinds of information, but if you aren't living it out, if you don't know what to do with that information, what good is the information to you? So Paul is saying, in this period of time that we call life, take the information that you know, take the things you know, and put them into practice. Figure out what to do with them. Learn what to do with them. Be wise. And then Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. There are some translations who say redeeming the time. Now, what is the thought here? Use the time you've been given to the full. Take advantage of every moment you are given in this life. Make the best use of the opportunities God gives you. Now, I don't think this verse is talking about making or taking advantage of the latest business idea for selfish gain or things like that. It's not about earthly or material things that he's talking about here. Instead, we are to take advantage of every opportunity to live a holy life, to promote Jesus, to be a bold witness for Christ everywhere we go. It's about eternal matters. Which leads me to my last thought, an eternal perspective. If you and I are going to make the most of every opportunity, we need to have an eternal perspective. Let me put it like this. In the time we've been given, our focus should be less on the here and now and more on the eternal. We live in a culture which emphasizes the present. It emphasizes how much we have or what we have. It emphasizes what we hope to get, what we want to accumulate. And while we find in Scripture it's biblical to earn and to save, it's also biblical to be good stewards of what we have. And the things that are in our possession, they aren't to be our focus. What tends to happen because of the culture's influence is we strive to get the biggest 401k and the largest pension we can so that we can live a life of leisure after retirement. This isn't in my notes, but retirement's not biblical, just so you know. We accumulate toys and all kinds of stuff. The world is focused on the bigger house, the vacation home, the latest technology, the current model of car and truck. And man, it's easy for us to fall into that trap of thinking, if I just had these things, it will make me happy. It will fulfill my life. When we were in Arkansas, we rented a vehicle. We rented a pickup truck. I've wanted a pickup truck for a long time. And we rented a Toyota Tundra. Man, you felt like a man in that thing. I mean, it was, except for the 13.4 miles per gallon, it was awesome. And Diane said, don't get any fever for it. Well, I come home and I had a little time on my hands, so I jump on the computer, and as soon as I look at the price of any of those trucks, I lost all fever I might have had. And I know the reality is, if I had one for the first day or two or a week, I'd be like, this is, and then it becomes just a truck. But our world is focused on the next thing, the bigger, the next. And the crazy thing is there's nothing wrong with having toys. There's nothing wrong with a good pension, a nice house, a vacation, all of those things. Nothing wrong with it, but it can become wrong if it becomes the driver of our lives. If it has us instead of us having them. Remember what Jesus said? It's up on the screen. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in where? Heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hear me this morning. It is not my intent to put anyone on a guilt trip today. That is not why I'm here. But I do want us to think about how we're living and what we're doing with the time we've been given. Are we living with eternity in view or today in view? In 2024, did you store up more treasures on earth or in heaven? I'm talking priorities here. How did you do in your own faith journey? Can you say that as I come to the end of 2024, I have grown in my spiritual walk, in my relationship with Jesus Christ? As you look back over the year, can you say, I invested time intentionally in reading and studying the Scripture? Can you say about 2024, I spent time talking with God in prayer, and I'm maturing in my walk with Jesus. Can you say that? See, that's part of storing up treasures in heaven, because if we know Jesus, we're going to live in his presence. We want to get to know him better. We want to grow here and then move right on in. How about this? Was the mentoring and discipling of your children, helping them understand what God wants in their lives, was that a priority? Or was it sports and arts and hobbies and music and all those other things? What was the priority with your children? What about the priority of corporate worship, the gathering like we do on Sunday? How important in 2024 was the coming together of the body of believers for you? Folks, it's in the corporate gathering, which we do Sunday morning after Sunday morning, where treasures are stored up in heaven. You say, how so? Well, we learn from the Word. And as we learn from the Word, we grow. We encourage one another. We fellowship with one another. All of this is part of our maturity, preparing for our eternal home in heaven. Guess who's going to be part of heaven with you? Other believers. And we start here in our relationship, preparing, storing up treasures in heaven. There ain't no hearse that's going to be pulling a U-Haul. You ain't taking none of that stuff with you, but your family and your friends, you can take them with you. Folks, it boils down to, what did I do with the 24 hours each day, the 7 days in the week, the 30 or 31 days in the month, and the 365 days in the year that you were given? What have you done with them? What have I done with them? So here we are, the end of the year. And it's good for us to reflect back and evaluate. And not to bring guilt, but maybe to challenge us. As we look back, maybe we can consider the areas in which our time needs to be different. And we can determine with the help of the Holy Spirit that we will be careful how we live, not as unwise, but that we will make the most of every opportunity that he gives us. And we can say, God, with your help, I will be intentional about an eternal perspective, storing up treasures in heaven, not just things on earth. So two questions. What will you do with the time you're gifted in 2025? What will you do? Will you make the most of every opportunity? We're going to pray, and then this morning we have the privilege of, on this last day of 2024, of sharing in the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you for the gift of time. Each one of us in this room today have made it through the year. You're the one who gave us time, and we thank you for it. No doubt, each of us, as we look back, can see areas where we have regrets, areas where we could improve on as we come to a new year. We can look back at some victories. We might even look back on defeats. We see your forgiveness, your mercy. Lord, as we move into 2025, should you give it to us, may we make the most of every opportunity. Help us to have an eternal perspective and not fall into the trap of the here and now. I know your word says that you give us everything to enjoy, but that's not to be our priority. May we focus on eternity. God, I praise you for each one who's here this morning. And my prayer is that no one will leave defeated, but that we would all leave challenged and depending upon you to help us be better stewards of our time in 2025. And we'll praise you for that in Jesus' name. Again, this morning, as we come to the end of the year, we have the privilege of celebrating communion. If you did not receive the elements, there is a basket that we can, if you just raise your hand if you need elements, we'll pass those out. There's some on both sides of the church, and we want you to have it. Here at Kilpatrick Church, we are not closed communion. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, following Him, we welcome you to participate in communion. Again, you don't have to be a member of the church to participate. This is something that we as followers of Christ participate in. Why do we do this? Jesus tells His disciples at the Passover meal, the Last Supper, that when you do this in remembrance of Me. And so this morning, as we prepare our hearts to receive communion, we've just come through the Christmas season. And it gives us opportunity once again to just reflect back on that and say, Jesus, thank You. Thank You for humbling Yourself, for becoming a man, for coming to this earth for one reason, to be the sacrifice for my sins, for our sins. We want to thank Him for that. So this morning, the way we will do this, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read a portion of Scripture. We will take the bread together, and then I'll read another portion, and we'll receive the cup together. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to the close of this year, we've just walked through the season we celebrated the birth of Your Son. Your Word tells us that You so loved the world, that's us, that You gave Your Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus, we want to say thank You for Your obedience, for Your love for us, for Your willingness to become a man, to live a sinless life, to die on a cross, that we might be saved, that we might be forgiven. Lord, search our hearts. If there's any sin in our lives that needs to be taken care of, that needs to be confessed, if there's an apology that needs to be made, if there's something that we need to do in our walk with You, let us be willing to do that. We love You this morning. And we worship You today as we remember once again our Savior Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Today, let's commemorate our Savior. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me." The Scripture says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's remember that as we partake. Father, we go in Your strength and Your power, thanking You for the blessings of 2024, and we look with anticipation for what You want to do in us and through us in 2025. Love You, and we commit our lives to You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Happy New Year. Go live out your faith.